Father, thank you this morning that you are not dead, but you are alive. Thank you, Lord, that because of the sacrifice of your Son, Lord, that we can truly have life and have it in life more abundantly. And Lord, that we can rest in you and know you. And Lord, that you have sent your Holy Spirit, that we can be comforted and that we can have him alive and well and working within us. And Lord, we know that we have a hope, that this is not the end. Lord, that this life is not all we have, but Lord, we have a hope of eternity, of a life forever with you in the presence of God. And Lord, we sing and we praise you this morning because that is what we are excited about. That is what we live for, is life with you. In Jesus' name. Do you know him that way this morning? Is it a far-off idea, or is it a relationship? Is it precious, or is it just another idea somebody told you about?
And the preacher brought out some things that he went through in his life. One was they had a stillborn, and that really was their first one. They were looking forward to it, and God took it away. After praying and praying, God took it away. But the deep part about God is if we're open to him, he fulfills that vacuum. Mm-hmm. That he takes away, and he'll give us more of him. And he brought that out in such a way that I could identify with him. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful this morning that I could praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. I had a brother-in-law once that his wife died young, and he didn't handle it very well. He became an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And his life was miserable. Nothing but miserable. But in this deathbed, his family was around him and singing, and they're pretty sure he gave his life to Jesus at last. So hopefully he's okay. But I'm thankful for Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
that you would, through your Holy Spirit and through the work that you have done in our lives, that you would feed this hungry world through us, Father. I pray we would not be content to sit back and to just watch the news and to watch the evil around us, but Father, that it would spur us to reach out, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to share the good news of the gospel wherever we go. Oh, Father, I pray if we are sleeping that you would wake us up. I pray that you would help us to see the spiritual battles that are going on in this world. And Father, that you would give us the love of Jesus to share with our neighbors, with our friends. Oh, God, I pray that you would use us as a light and a testimony. Oh, God, we just want to worship you today. I thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your comfort that you give. Thank you for your peace that you give us. Even when our hearts are troubled, how you give us peace and how you love us. And I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Michael, can you pull up, is he worthy? I've just been, I heard this song this morning. Mary Ellen Asher posted this over there, and just some of the things they're going through over there with the orphanage, and yeah, we wonder sometimes, why do we praise God? Why do we worship Him? Why do we look to Him for everything that's going on in life? Is He worthy? He is. And I think this song speaks to that so clearly. Thank you. You may be seated.
Children, come on up. No, you guys sit down here. Get comfortable. Okay. Good morning, little people. How are you doing?
Good.
Okay, today we're going to talk about how knowing and loving God is the goal. Not only is it the goal for you, but it's the goal for everyone. Okay, so today I'm going to have you guys use your imagination a few times. You know what your imagination is? Okay, good. At least you're there. I want you to imagine, this is the first one, so you can close your eyes if you want. I want you to imagine you are about to be in a race and you're at the starting line. Can everybody see the starting line? Okay, good. You're going to do well in your cowboy boots. You're going to hear the starter say, get on your mark, get ready, set, go. Everybody takes off running. Problem is, you start running the wrong direction. Yeah. Everybody else is running to the finish line, but you're going backwards, the wrong way. That'd be crazy, right? That'd be crazy. That's why it's your imagination. And no one would really do that. Yeah. Now, the next one, imagine you're playing basketball or soccer or baseball or whatever it is you like to do. And you run the wrong way and accidentally score for the wrong team. Right? If this happened, your coach would be mad. Your teammates would be mad. You would be mad. Everybody would be mad. Your parents would be mad. All the spectators would be mad. They might even throw things at you. Yeah, maybe. If it's basketball, they would. So you just got to remember, it doesn't matter how fast you run or how hard you try in a game. If you're running the wrong way, then it doesn't matter. The good news is that we all have help with this. The Bible helps us because it shows us the right direction to go to keep us from running backwards or scoring for the wrong team. We should read and study the Bible, and the Bible shows us what God is like and teaches us what He wants us to do. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah. All right, so now think about this. You would not want a friend who wants to be your friend only when you have some candy to share, right? No, you want friends who want to be with you and be your friends anytime, not just when you have a gift or candy for them. So we should love God because He is God, not just because He does good things for us. Now what I want you to do, I want you to think about somebody special that you know very, very well. So probably one of your parents, right? You know your parents really well. Now, you might tell your friends all about your parents. Maybe your parent is tall or short, has brown hair or no hair. Has brown eyes or blue eyes. Maybe they like football or like to read or plant things in the garden. Whatever it is, you could tell your friends all these facts or things about your parents. But they still wouldn't really know who your parents are, right? They would just know what they like to do. But you know your parents are special and you know more about them because you spend time with them. So we must know the truths about God But we also must know him as a person. And God is someone we can really know. And isn't that cool? So the way you get to know God is to spend time with him, just like you know more about your parents when you spend time with them. You will get to know more about God when you spend more time with him. So that means when you come to church, you listen to the adults who are speaking or teaching you lessons, or you read your Bible, or if you can't read, you listen to someone who is reading the Bible. And you pray to God, asking him to help you understand more about him. So remember at the beginning, we kind of talked about running races and playing sports. And if you run races or play sports or do anything like that, most of the time, you're going to make mistakes because you're not perfect. And most people make those mistakes because none of us are perfect, but God is, and God is the perfect one. So if your goal is to know and love God, then you will be headed in the right direction in your life. We need God's help for this. No one can do this alone. So the Bible verse that I want you to remember about putting God as your goal is Mark 12:30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Right? Amen to that. So what I have here is, this is something you can take with your parents, and you guys can do this together. So I'm going to give each one of you one of these. I'll give you two. And what this does is just a parent page for you and your parents to where you can work through it. Does everybody have one? Okay. And then I have something else for you. So I know most of the time you guys get candy when you're up here, right? Yes. And we talked about having friends that just give you candy. Well, I don't have candy for you, but I have something better, right? So you have to like me anyway. So what I have here is it's a Bible verse that you can take with you, because remember, our goal today was to get to know God and have God be our goal in life versus eating a ton of candy. So each one of you can have one of these. I want you to put it somewhere special. And if you can't read, then have somebody that can read to you. Okay, so what was today's goal? God. God is the goal. Right? Okay, you guys can take your seats.
Good morning to each of you. Glad to have everyone here this morning. Thank God we're in a nice, calm place. Last few days have been pretty windy. But anyway, kind of with that, I kind of had a scripture I came across. I think it's John 3. Forget which verse it is, like 7 or 8. But, you know, it's speaking of the wind bloweth, where it carries to, and it was referring to like as the Spirit of God, you know, as well there. And I just kind of had to think of that with all the wind we've been having the last 24 hours, which is insane, but the God can move in a very mighty way as well in the Spirit. And so that's awesome. That's why we're here this morning. Thanks for the Carey family for your praise time. I really appreciated that. And Jemai for the children's lesson. I was like, man, like when I say children, I mean children of God. So that's pretty awesome. I always like children's lesson. There's so much for adults to learn as well. We have the communion today. I'll be turning the time over then to Brother Phil. He'll be taking it from here. And then we have a new meal plan. So feel free to hang around for that. It looks like we have the men's book. study this week on Wednesday evening at 6:30 at John's house. And then the Saturday morning prayers. And I haven't heard really updates as far as Linda Watkins and Linda Melendrez. Looks like she's actually here, so it's good to have her here with us. So that's awesome. All right, yeah, at this time I'll just turn time over to Brother Phil.
I was thinking about that wind, Dave. Last night we were up northwest of Wellington at a church meeting there and listening to a brother from Louisiana share the word. And it was so windy out there. It was ferociously windy. I mean, we were in his garage, and there were like, I don't know, 6 garage doors, 3 on either side, and those garage doors were, and I was like, is it going to come in? And it actually, he has a gazebo on a deck, and it blew half the gazebo off, just blew it out. And so everyone was kind of joking about it, but as we were sitting there, my mind went to Acts chapter 2, where 120 people were just praying. It's nice and calm. And all of a sudden, there was a rushing, mighty wind, not outside, inside. Can you imagine that? And I thought, what if that happened in here, right now? And then something even more crazy that they had never experienced before, fire. Everybody had little fire flames on their heads. And then something happened that they could only dream of. All of them together began to speak the word of God with boldness and power. This was so crazy that the people outside heard it, seen what was going on, and said, "These people must all be drunk." That's being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how they experienced it. Would you be ready for that? I think many of God's people sitting in churches today wouldn't be ready for that. They'd be like, this is craziness. These people must be drunk with some new wine. I'm out of here. But I invite you this morning to come to the Lord and allow Him to blow through your life. As Brother Lee Yoder is here with us this morning. And Lee, I remembered a couple weeks ago I had coffee with his grandson, Stefan. And Stefan quoted to me the verse in Hebrews chapter 13 where the Lord will shake at the end of chapter 12, where the Lord shakes everything created that can be shaken so that only one thing remains, the uncreated part which cannot be shaken. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes in like a rushing mighty wind and He blows half your gazebo off and He blows things apart so that the only thing in our life that remains is the things He created, the new person Jesus Christ in us. And when we experience life experiences like this, sometimes we think, our world's coming to an end. And if your world is coming to an end because the Lord is shaking everything in your life that can be shaken and only one thing remains, remember, He's bringing all of that to an end for a purpose. And that purpose is so that Christ becomes preeminent in your life. Not only your foundation, but the whole structure of your life, so that everything you do is in Him, through Him, and for Him, Romans tells us. This morning, before we go into the communion service, Sister Linda is here. Let's all give the Lord a clap of hands and rejoicing. God is good. Amen, Linda. God is good. And she has been having cancer treatments. As you know, we've been praying for her. And she asked that we anoint her with oil this morning. And so, Linda, you can come forward and minister team. I invite you to forward. We're going to pray over Linda as we love to do and as James 5 instructs us to do. And anyone else who wants to just come up around Linda, some of you sisters, Anava, if you want to come up, or anyone else, and just commit her to the Lord. Linda, do you want to share anything? You want to say anything? Just give a testimony, or
I just know that with God, all things are possible.
Amen. He is the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He says in Jeremiah. And Linda's testimony to us this past week was this. Whether the Lord takes me home or decides to heal me, my life is his. And she's going to rejoice in that. And so we're going to join you in that, sister, in our prayers and ask the Lord to heal her, touch her, but more importantly, to raise her up in her inner man and give her grace for the journey of the rest of life until he calls her home. Let's pray together.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for Linda. She's been such a blessing to this body here. And I thank you for her love for you and for your word and her zeal to want to do what's right. And I bless her for yielding her heart to you, God. I pray for Linda. Lord, I didn't even know she had cancer, but I, as one who's survived, I understand the heart. Yes. And I pray for her, God, if it's your will through our hands to touch her, I pray you would touch her and heal her, God. And I appreciate her heart so much that whether she live or die, you know, you are your life, Lord, and you are our life. Mm-hmm. And to live is you. And I pray that that life would enter deeply into her heart more and more, and that you would prepare her heart for whatever. God, if it's your will that she be healed, I pray you touch her through us. Mm-hmm. I know you have that power. And your kingdom come and your will be done, Jesus, in Linda. But above all, your kingdom come in her heart. Yes. And touch her, God. And bless you. Thank you so much for Linda. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for our dear sister. Father, I just pray that you would heal the cancer that is in her body. And I pray that you would give the doctors much wisdom on Tuesday as we meet with them and the team, and as they inform her of her path forward, Lord, in what they recommend. Father, I just pray that you would give them wisdom. And I pray that you would give Linda wisdom in knowing what her body will be able to handle. And Father, I pray that you would strengthen her. She is strong in you, and we thank you so much that you are her everything, and you have been. And she is depending on you to be that through this journey in her life. And I pray for her grandchildren and her daughters. Amen. Father, it's very hard for all of them, and I just pray that you would bring all of them closer to you and through her walk. Father, we know that every Sunday that she can come, she comes to worship you. She cannot hear most of the service, Lord, but she comes to worship you, and I just thank you for her example, and I pray that her kids and her daughters would see this example. Amen, and that it would bring all of them closer to Jesus and to you, and that they could be there during her tough time and lift her up and share scripture and encouragement just as she has done to them all her life. And Father, we thank you for bringing Linda into our lives and the friendship that we have, and we just love her and we thank you for her.
Dear Lord, we thank you for our sister, Lord, taking this step of faith to come to you for healing. Yes, yes. And Father, I just pray, I know that all things are possible to him who believes. Many times, Lord, you healed those, but it was according to their faith. So I pray you would take whatever faith we have and And let us just realize, Lord, as small as a mustard seed, yes, that you can do all things, and you offer us all that through Jesus,
yes. Amen, Jesus,
the Savior of our soul and our bodies, Lord. So I just pray for Linda. You would touch her, and that you would take this away, if it'd be your will. Mm-hmm. And, Lord, we know you're able. And, Lord, just be with her family. What a hard thing to go through. I just pray for each one of them. And, Lord, thank you for your love and mercy. And I pray that whatever happens, Lord, that you get glorified through this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I just pray for Linda this morning, Lord. Thank you so much for her and her life that has been dedicated to you. But, Lord, I just pray, Lord, for healing, Lord, in her physical body. And, Lord, much so, more so even in her spirit, Lord. In yes. Ephesians, it says that we are renewed in the spirit of our minds. Yes. And, Lord, I pray that that would be her life and her testimony, Lord, that she would be strong yes. in you, and that she would know that above everything you are her Lord and Savior, yes. and that she yes. would be at peace, yes. and that she would be yes. just know that she will be resurrected with yes. Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes. Lord, what greater healing could we ask for than that? But, Lord, we just ask that you would touch her and heal her. And, Lord, that she would just know you more and better in her life, Lord. Yeah. That she would just feel your presence each and every day as you work in both her mind and soul, Lord, as you are doing a work within her. And we thank you, Lord, that you are willing to do this. And we ask it not because of our strength or anything that we have done, but because of the power of Jesus Christ. And we ask it in his name this morning. Amen.
Lord, I also thank you for Linda, her willingness, Lord, to be in our midst again, Lord, to walk up here, Lord, to struggle, Lord. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this. I pray you would just give her peace, Lord, and her inner soul, Lord. And thank you that she desires anointing, Lord. We know, Lord, we'd love to live as long as you give us life, Lord. But, Lord, we also remember what Paul said, Lord, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And, Lord Jesus, so we just commit Linda in your hands, Lord. And, yes, just like, Lord, like was prayed already, Lord, that you would just comfort her soul, Lord, and that she would be strengthened through this anointing. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, we don't understand why you allow our little church to go through so many different things and so much pain and suffering sometimes it feels like, and yet I thank you so much for the opportunity that it gives us to praise you and Amen. To trust in you yes. and to give our loved ones to you over and over and over again. And Father, we do that with Linda. We thank you for her and her life and the gift that she is to each one of us in her quiet way, and how faithful she has served you and loved you. How you love her, and God, how I know that you will walk with her every day, every step, and I thank you already for that, that you will give her grace every day. I pray for healing for her mind, for her body, for her soul, God, that she would have such peace and confidence in you. I just thank you for the hope that it gives all of us just to watch her and know her faith is so rooted and grounded in you. And I thank you, God. We just all praise you for who you are. And we know that you know best. We ask, we beg of you that you would please heal her, Father. And we also know that you know best. So your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our sister Linda, we anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He healed. He raised up in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we commit her body, her soul, and her spirit unto you, which are God's. Thank you for our dear sister. I pray that you would strengthen her in your love. Let her be rooted and grounded in your love, that nothing can separate her from the love of Christ. Oh, come and reign in her life until you call her home. Forever to be with you. Thank you for her. Bless her with your peace, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You got one? You got that. I'll take this. Okay. Through our time of breaking of bread, turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read this portion. Luke chapter 1, this is Zechariah's prophecy over John the Baptist and also over Jesus. Who was Zechariah? Can someone tell me? He was a high priest. He was the priest acting as a high priest at this time. And what happened to him when he was in the temple doing his priestly service? Someone tell me? Any of the children know? An angel came and appeared to him. What did he tell him? Yes, he was going to have a son. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth were old, probably like Christopher Nonova. Maybe that old. And an angel would come and say, "You're going to have a child, Anova." Or maybe like Katie and I, you know, we're old too. Anyway, Zechariah didn't quite believe it. It was so unbelievable. And what happened to him? Someone tell me. He was made dumb. He came out and he couldn't talk until John was born, and he in faith proclaimed his name, which was very unusual in those days. The child, especially the first child, the man child, was dedicated to the Lord, but always took the paternal name, his father's name on. But the angel had told him, "You shall call him John." There was no John in the family. But when Zechariah came out and said, "His name is John," this is what happened. Luke chapter 1. Verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, verse 67 of Luke chapter 1. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." I want to engage your hearts with these words, brother, sister. Or if you're here and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not sure these words are true in your life, just stop. Listen and engage with these words. Put your faith in the truth of these words. "For he, the Lord God of Israel, has visited us." Has God visited you? What did he do when he came to visit you? Did he accomplish anything in that visit? He has accomplished for you and me. That's why he came to visit us. It wasn't just a visitor passing through. He came to visit you and me for this reason: to accomplish redemption for us. I was sharing with a brother about Zacchaeus. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? Who was Zacchaeus in the Bible? Someone tell us. He was a little guy. Maybe this little. He was a little person. So little, that way when he's in a crowd, he couldn't see anything. He couldn't see nobody. So what did he do because he was little? When he heard Jesus was coming. Yes, Sherry. He climbs a tree. Oh, no, they cut the tree down. Henry, it cut my entrance to Jesus off. Now how am I going to see Jesus if I'm a little guy? I'll have to go out there and climb the pine tree. He finds a tree and he climbs the tree. And he waits. Have you ever climbed a tree waiting to see Jesus? Well, maybe you should try. You might see him passing by. But something more special happened, right? Zacchaeus climbs the tree, and I don't think Zacchaeus dreamt of what would happen that day. He was just climbing the tree so he could see this guy, this healer, this powerful miracle worker, this wonderful teacher. And he probably thought Jesus would just pass right by. I remember many, many years ago in early 2000, shortly after George W. Bush was elected as president, he came out to Estes Park to campaign for one of the Colorado senators. And he flew into the little airport in Loveland, and his motorcade came out, and our office and shed display was right on Highway 34 on the way to Estes Park. And so they all told us, it was announced in the town, the president is coming through, and this newly elected president that so many were excited about, versus Gore, if you remember. That's enough for politics. But anyway, the president was coming through, and so all of us and our workers, we lined out the street, and people lined the street, and the traffic was stopped for like an hour before he came through. They wouldn't let any traffic through. And we had this shed display where I put two sheds side by side, and then I had another shed on top, and that was our sign of our sheds. So myself and about 10 of us, our employees, us guys, we all climbed that shed, and we were sitting up there on the tall shed roof because we wanted to see the president passing by. Guess what we seen? A black car flying by. There was a motorcade and motorcycles, and one of the cops stopped and said, "Hey, you guys up there, what's going on? You're not going to throw any rocks or anything, are you?" "No, no, we're just going to wave. Okay, be nice." That's what he told us. And so we sat there, and all of a sudden all these motorcycles came roaring through, and then a black car, another black car, and another black car, and we were like, "Where's the president?" He was gone, just like that. That was our experience of meeting someone important. Was that Zacchaeus' experience? No. He thought maybe that's what it was going to be like. Big multitude of people. Jesus wouldn't even recognize him in the tree. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus comes right up underneath the tree and he looks up. Zacchaeus. Can you imagine being Zacchaeus? Yeah, yes, me? Yes, you, Zacchaeus. Come on down. He scrambles down out of that tree. I can just see it in my head. Can you see him coming out, that little guy? Like a little monkey. Yes, yes, Jesus. He's looking up at Jesus. He's a little guy. I don't know how tall Jesus was, but probably my size or something normal. I'm going to your house today. You what? Yeah. Come on, take me home. Now, how do you think Zacchaeus' house looked? I don't think he was expecting anybody that day. But Jesus, this miracle worker, the Messiah, the wonderful teacher, said, "I'm coming home with you today. Come, take me to your house. What will you do?" You know what Zacchaeus did? He took him home to his house. And what happened that day? What did Jesus say happened to Zacchaeus and his whole family that day? Can someone tell me what happened? Jesus said, "Salvation has come to this house today." That's what happens when Jesus comes to visit you in your house. That's what happens when he takes you out of your tree. As a passerby observer, he doesn't fly by you in a tinted window with sirens wailing. And no, he stops. He looks you in the eye and he says, "Take me home to your house." And he has brought redemption for his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, from the devil and all of his demons who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of Satan and sin, all of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Do you serve Jesus with no fear? That's what he came to save you from. In holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the way of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. Why did Jesus go home with Zacchaeus that day? What had Zacchaeus done to earn that? Anything? Nothing except climb the tree just to see him. But Jesus had mercy on that tax collector. That's who he was, by the way. Jesus, just because of his mercy, visited him. And just because of his mercy, he chooses to forgive my sin, all of them, and yours. Every failure, every wrong thought, every proud motive of my heart, every sin. Because he loves us. His mercy. With which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's what he has come. That's the redemption he gives to you and me today. Should we not come to his table and remember with a thankful heart and yield our lives to him like Zacchaeus did? Yes, come to my house. And Lord, all the money that I've robbed from people, I'm going to give it all back and much more. Because you've come to my house. I will repent from all my sins. Because you've made my house worthy of your presence. Holy. Your mercy has come upon me. Salvation has come to this house. Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read through Ephesians. But before we do, we're going to just stop right here and take a moment, a few moments, and go get our bread and our grape juice and remember the Lord's death and celebrate his great salvation that he has brought to us. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for stopping at my tree. Thank you. You stopped at my tree. And you said, come. Come, Phil. I want to go to your house. I want to come to your life and visit you. And I'm here just because you did that, Lord. Your sovereign love called me, and you came and you redeemed my life from destruction, and you crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies, and you brought me out of darkness into your marvelous light. And now I get to fellowship with these dear precious people. Your precious word, your precious life in me. I get to fellowship with you like this. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Dave, is the bread and the juice ready? Okay. Let's just pause here and come and each take a piece of bread, get the cup of juice, and bring it back to our seats and have this fellowship.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory.
In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and saved and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that dwelleth all in all.
Christopher, would you read chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 13?
And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ, for by grace we are saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that we, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye or we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ.
For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. Together, as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you, Gentiles, who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. What number am I on? Okay. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together to him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit.
For this reason, I, Paul, prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, seeming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made minister according to the gift of God's grace, which is given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, preached to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone What is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places? This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and accept and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory.
For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Don't you like that? All the different translations coming together at one time. That's how heaven is going to be. Thank you. It was such a joy and always is so precious to me to do this together with you, remembering the Lord's death until he comes, proclaiming it, remembering it, proclaiming it. Do you guys have the birthday sheets, Michael, Derek? And we'll sing the birthday song yet, and then I'll give the time over to Brother Dave. Happy birthday to all of you guys, whose birthdays it is. There's a list coming. Lucas Fowler, you're having a birthday, are you? And Elie, let's pray for Elie and Christy. He texted me last night again, and they're really sick. This flu bug is just flattening them out for some reason. And also, Brother Leonard Toddy texted me last night, and they're really sick. Their whole family's struggling like crazy. So pray for those who are sick. And Leah has a birthday, huh? Happy birthday, Leah. And Dad, are you 71? 71. And Christy and Dave, are you 60-something? Okay. And then Caden. Well, he took off, too. All right, let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Kind of along with the birthday song, I think today is Merv and Olga's anniversary, I think, on their 29th. So I don't know if we've got any other anniversaries in April or not. But anyway, oh, awesome. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, awesome. How many years? 18? Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I think Merv and Olga got 29, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks again for coming. It's a pleasure to be here to fellowship with one another and partake of the bread and the juice and in the body of believers. Again, thanks for coming. And why don't we just bow our head for a word of prayer and a blessing on the new meal. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. Lord, again, we just thank you again for your son, Jesus, that he is willing to down the cross for our sins. And Lord, I just thank you for your blood and for your love. And Lord, I just thank you for the forgiveness of sins that we can experience and the joy and the peace and that we don't have to have the fear of man and the fear of death. And Lord, I just thank you that you are an awesome God like we've heard this morning. Lord, I just pray that you be with those who aren't here this morning. I just pray for those who are sick particularly. Lord, I just can pray for healing in their bodies, Lord. And Lord, just put your arms around them, comfort them, give them the strength and the healing, if not against your will. Lord, we thank you for the physical food that's provided. Lord, I just pray that bless the hand that have prepared it, bless it to our bodies, Lord, and just be with us as we gather around the table, we fellowship, Lord, that your name would be honored and glorified. Be with us as we depart from here. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.